Good morning to you, family. It gives me great joy this morning to greet you in no other name but the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the name in which all things are possible. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. We are dealing with our prophetic journey to the finish, and we have covered last week the whole aspect of our need for wisdom. Yes, we need wisdom in every area of our lives, both in the building of our lives and also for the building of the local church. Today, I want to share on the application of wisdom for building the local church. The application of wisdom for building the local church. The physiological structure of the church, beloved, and the development of ministry are outwardly manifested by what is built inwardly. When we build, you are building as representatives of God, as craftsmen, as technicians, skilled as species that will manifest what God wants us to do. We don't just rent a crowd, for we are not a collection of people, but a specific group of people, a gathering, a species that will exhibit Jesus Christ. How do we establish an operational system that creates a womb or an incubator that will allow people to develop into representation of Jesus Christ? Yes, beloved, we all, whether you're a pastor, whether you are a deacon, an elder, whether you are a departmental head, or just a family member at GMDS, every single one of us have to develop into representation of Jesus Christ. Whether you have one person or 1,000 people under your cover, everyone has to be polished and well-trained to build a more excellent ministry. I must stress at this juncture that every one of you, every single one of you, have a purpose and you have a plan that God has placed in your life to fulfill in this ministry called Gate Ministries Durban South. Proverbs 22 verse 29 says, "Do you see man skilled at his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." The only way for you to be able to stand before kings and not just before insignificant people is when you are skilled in your worship, you are skilled in the task given to you to fulfill in the local house. You will stand before kings when you are excellent in your representation. I think I need to define kingship at this juncture of this message. Kingship represents the application of God's authority upon the earth through the lives of appointed men or set men that God appoints. It represents a delegated position of authority that is accountable to God. God chooses kings and sets them in place. Now I want to share a few features of kingship. All of us have the component of kingship and priesthood in our representation of Christ. It is of paramount importance to get to know this, that if you want to represent Christ exactly, then you need wisdom to help you represent Him. Your representation, accurate representation, proper representation, authentic representation will help to build our local church. What's the definition of kingship? It's the application of God's authority upon the earth through those that have been appointed. Okay? It represents a delegated position of authority that is accountable to God. God chooses kings and sets them in place. Okay, you've got that. The number one feature of kingship is that a king is God's oracle. Kings speak divine intent. Whenever we open our mouths, we speak the thoughts of God and not empty, weightless things. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 10, this is what it says. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth will be judged. Divine decisions refer to judicial decisions because the nation rested in the king's hand. His first responsibility is to obey God. So in whatever portfolio you are, and whatever stage you are in contributing towards the building of our local church, you must understand your first responsibility is to obey God. You are God's oracle. Secondly, another feature of kingship is the establishing of the standard. Establishing the standard. Proverbs 28 says, a king who sits on the throne of justice disposes all evil with his eyes. Wow! A king who sits on the throne of justice disposes, gets rid of all evil just with his eyes. We must raise and establish true biblical standards. Beloved, don't be tempted to compromise biblical standards. In your personal worship, in your marriage, in your home life, at your secular work, in your social setting, wherever you are a king representing the King of Kings. I did tell you that Pastor Thamo mentioned to us that the focus is moving away from the pulpit to the pews, away from just putting too much of emphasis on one man that stands in the front to deliver. Now the responsibility is shared amongst every single one of you. Every single one of you must be responsible. You must establish the standard of God in your lives. And you must have one standard, and that standard is imposed or given by God. Establishing that standard in every sphere and facet of your lives, personal lives, and also in the house of God will help dispose all evil just by you positioning your eyes on God. We must raise and establish true biblical standards. Our standards must be higher than the present Babylonian system. And this system today is dictating to the ecclesia. It's supposed to be the other way. The church must be dictating to a Babylonian system. Do not mix your wines. The wise king sifts out the wicked. The wise king scatters evil. There is no place for evil within the structure of kingship. Hallelujah. To be a successful king wherever you're representing Christ, you need wisdom. Come on. I trust God that we, Val and I, will be able to mentor, to coach, and to lead, and to guide, and to present teachings to a whole lot of kings in our local house. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace upon his lips, the king will be his friends. Listen, he who loves purity, no compromise of standard, only one standard, the standard of God, wherever you are. I urge you today to examine every area of your life, righteousness, integrity, justice, openness, no falsehood must be present. He who loves purity of heart and has grace upon his lips, the king will be his friend. The standard is purity and a compliant operational system. Get rid of cliques. Get rid of conspiracy. Get rid of exposing nakedness. Get rid of wickedness. Get rid of compromise. in you establishing the standard. The next feature of kingship is to understand the value of right. We walk from a covenanted relationship, beloved, which we are bound by. We know our obligation and priority. Bring people to understand authority and spiritual laws. I want you to always, in your every man in this house, every mom in this house, as you train your children, your young adults in your families, bring them to understand authority and spiritual laws. Even the set man of a house, the one who mentors, the one who coaches, the one who trains you, operate not on bluntness, arrogance, but respect, a transparent lifestyle, and no tolerance for evil should govern his way of relating. Pray for me. Pray for Val that we will understand the value of being the right standard of God in all our dealings in this family. Next, the feature of kingship is the power to bring order and structure. You can read Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7. The local church must be built on order and structure, not on preference, not on gimmicks, and not on any tricks. It must be built on order. Order is required in every sphere of our lives. Order in our leadership. Order in the way we lead. Order in departmental heads. Order in the way we invite people into our house. In the way we receive our people. In the way we care for our people. There must be an order. The local church is determined by divine order and proper government, both structurally and moral, set by the standards of God. Certain situations may arise, causing the local church to be restrained or disciplined by the local authority. I want to look at this word, rebuke. It's not a bad word, rebuke. Old Testament principles, in Psalm 141 verse 5, rebuke is like medicine. When you rebuke a brother, rebuke a leader, rebuke somebody, it's like medicine because it's adjusting the person. Proverbs 1 verse 23 to 33 talks about the importance of your response to ordained rebuke. We have some people that just won't listen to us. Even if we give them advice and talk into their lives, they've made up their mind to listen to their own voice. Their ways are greater than ways ordained by God and directed through a set man. And so, importance of your response to ordained rebuke is essential for you to burst into significance, one, to contribute meaningfully to the building of our local house. The New Testament principles see rebuke as something to bring to light, to expose, to admonish, to call to an account, to show up one's fault, to demand explanation. It's the Greek word elegcho, E-L-E-G-C-H-O. Rebuke reveals things hidden and grants invaluable opportunity to deal with issues. Proper response to rebuke allows for advance for God's kingdom in our lives. How important is rebuke in the building of our local house? It's excellent. Sometimes we don't see certain things. All of us have some blind spots. Through a rebuke, through an exposure, to an admonishing, to calling you to an account, to show your faults, is an excellent way to adjust yourself so that you don't waste time being bogged down by things that create a smoke screen. You think that you've got it right, but you are far from what is required from you. That's why God places spiritual authority in your life to guide you, to lead you out of situations that bog you down, that retard you. So I'm praying today that you will welcome rebuke from spiritual parents. You will welcome rebuke. Rebuke is good because it helps you to save embarrassment. It helps you to develop quickly. It helps you to see things. Don't, when you are being rebuked by spiritual parents, don't take this negatively. Don't pull your face and say, we don't like this. You got to deal with some stuff inside of you, because it is part of God's agenda when building the local church, that there is part of that makeup or structure, the whole aspect of rebuke. Rebuke reveals things hidden, and it grants invaluable opportunity to deal with issues. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 15, rebuke is regarded as, or Titus is encouraged by Paul to encourage, to exhort, and rebuke. If we do not restrain children, we will see unnatural growth. Come on, we will see unnatural growth. In Titus chapter 1, verse 13, there's an encouragement to correct them severely. I'm not going to open these scriptures, but I want you to open them at home. In your time, when you are studying the word, open and see this, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 13. It gives us the purpose of discipline. What is the purpose of discipline? It is for correction. Man, it's useful to be corrected. You're not going to be mocked by others when you're corrected. You're going to see things before you expose yourself to a whole lot of people that are waiting for your demise, your fall, and your destruction. Secondly, the purpose of discipline is to produce righteousness. When rebuke comes, when discipline comes, it helps you to stand up and to have righteousness in your life. Thirdly, the purpose of discipline is to make your path straight. Man, so many of us in this local house, and I know every one of you, I'm not looking down upon you, I'm not condemning you, but so many of us have to make our path straight. There are areas of our lives where we cannot see things that are going wrong. And then, what is the purpose of discipline? It stops the slide from lameness to dislocation. And finally, it erects a standard. I want to read this passage of scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 13. I want you to prayerfully accept this as we are reading this, 5 to 13. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are being rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. So if you are a son, or you're developing into true sonship, you are going to be rebuked, you are going to be disciplined, you are going to be corrected, you are even going to be scourged. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If you don't like to be disciplined, if you don't like to be corrected, if you don't like to be told, then you are not true sons of God. You are illegitimate. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it heals the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. What is lame may not be dislocated. Therefore, the purpose of discipline is to stop the slide from lameness to dislocation, and adjust you, and erect a standard in your life that you can adopt, live by, and use as an indicator
of how you are moving towards true sonship.
God wants you to be healed. God wants all of us to be healed. And just the other day, Val gave you a good teaching on the blocks to healing. Yeah, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that instead of moving from lameness to dislocation, God wants you to be healed. How can you be healed? By this whole feature of welcoming discipline. Every true king loves discipline. To meet out discipline and to have subjects that report to him to be disciplined so that they could excel and enter new levels of achievement and success. And some of the things that avoid us or blocks us from being healed and progressing and developing and having a procurement of wisdom in our lives is unforgiveness, ignorance or lack of knowledge, no relationship with God according to knowledge, personal and family sins, not having faith in God. You want miracles, but you don't want God. Looking for signs and wonders. It is better to keep seeking Jesus than to chase after signs and wonders. Expecting God to heal one on one's own terms. Looking to man rather than to God. Not being honest and transparent. Living in habitual sins. Robbing God in tithes and offering. The sins of our parents. All of these things, in some way or another, does not cause us to progress. Thus we are bogged down. So I'm praying to God that you will be able to see this, that discipline is necessary. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 to 20, these are the characteristics of the king. All of these are characteristics of the king. I want you to read Deuteronomy 17 from 14 to 20. The first characteristic in verse 15. The Lord chooses. The Lord calls. The Lord chooses the leaders. You cannot qualify yourself on your own showing. The Lord must qualify you. If you want to be a leader in this house, if you want to be a worker in this house, God will qualify you. God chooses the leader. David was the chosen one. His son Solomon was to carry the baton or baton. But Absalom called himself by psyching the people up against his father David. He was not chosen, but tried to usurp his authority. Leaders like these will be exposed, especially now in these last days, and they will be destroyed. Not destroyed by anyone, but destroyed by their own ambition and wickedness. Sometimes fathers are threatened by the potential of their sons. Thus they bring an outsider into the work to continue. We can't have that. If we can grasp the aspect of grace, there will be no threat or jealousy. Each one of you has a measure of grace. Secondly, the next characteristic of the king, verse 15. The Lord chooses someone from the brethren, not a foreigner. It is important for fathers to reproduce sons, not assistants, not associates, but sons, for sons will know the heart of the father. Beloved, I cannot stress this enough, how important it is for us to embrace the whole model of father and sons. Fathers are not threatened by sons. Sons know how to connect to father, to gravitate toward fathers. People call me dad sometimes, but don't ever keep in touch. Now, you must gravitate towards fathers. Discipline, rebuke, guidance will not be misunderstood. Voting, canvassing, influences are all not accepted. Genesis 1:11. Fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. David the warrior reproduced other warriors. To produce a mighty army, David had to take time to train these men with problems.
I'm praying that you will avail yourself for Mama Val and myself, or Val and myself, to train you. If there's anything I desire, is for you to place a demand upon me to train you, to coach you. We don't just want to have service post-COVID-19. We don't just want to sign the register that we've attended a service, come in casually, have no zeal, no passion, no opening in your life. You're closed in on the inside to the receiving of the word. You just come in and go out, or you're coerced, or you are trying to please someone by coming into a corporate gathering. These things are not tolerated now in these last days. You have to make a concerted effort to convince yourself that you need the Lord, that you need instruction and teaching, and you are coming to a corporate environment to receive the teaching of God, to be trained to be powerful, to be trained by the Spirit of the living God, who works through the administration of a set man or a mentor of a local house. Yes, David had to take time to train these men that had problems. Now, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 to 23, Adonai, he slew 800 men with a spear in one battle. Read that in verse 8. Eleazar, who struck down Philistines until his hand clung to his sword. Verse 9 and 11. Shammah, who defended a plot of ground full of lentils from the enemy. Read that in verse 11 and 12. These mighty men of the 30 chief men who broke through the Philistine line and obtained water for David. Read verse 13 to 17. Abishai, who slew 300 of the enemy in one go, verse 18 and 19. Benaiah, who killed two sons of Ariel of Moab, a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day, and an impressive Egyptian using the enemy's own sword, verse 20 to 23. David reproduced himself in these men. Beloved, as I'm seeking the face of God as your leader, as your instructor, as one who is mentoring you, coaching you, praying over you, leading you, I'm praying to God that I could help reproduce some of the stuff that God has placed within me, reproduce that into some of you so that you can become mighty men. Another quality of a king, characteristic of a king, is to pursue purity. Verse 17. There must be a system of restraining in the local house. We cannot allow any one of you to continue to sin, to live in a personal impurity. You've got to live pure in this family to guide the nation into obedience to God's law. There must be a possessing of an inner desire to be pure and to dwell in holiness. I say dwell in holiness. People will respect your warning and words when you possess credibility. Don't negotiate God's standard. Next, in verse 19, you must be a man of law, a man of principle who wants to understand godly principles, a disciplined man. This is a man above reproof, as his whole intent is to follow the law of God or the word of God. Next, verse 20. Humility is a great quality in as a characteristic of a king. All of us are kings, and we have to possess these qualities. Pursuing the way forward, pursuing purity, being a person that loves the word of God. Humility. Although he has authority, a leader within the house, his heart will not be lifted up to his brothers. In other words, none of us is going to have a condescending attitude towards another. We are not going to discuss another. We're not going to look down upon another. We're not going to mock another. We're going to uphold each other. We refuse to be angry without cause with our brother. we want to love one another, invest into one another as we build this local house in our journey towards the finish. There must be no pride in us. He does not become a dictator and look down on everyone. No one in this local house will pull rank. No one will confuse his or her functionality with position. We will be friendly with all and reach out to all. That's humility. Also, verse 20 speaks about a consistent lifestyle, demonstrating consistency in all our aspects, in our worship, in our giving, how we treat family members, how we relate to the Word of God, how we get rid of moodiness. All of this is very, very important. Now I want to share this whole aspect of the wisdom that Solomon requested in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. And you can read about these, but I just want to list some of these points from this passage of scripture. You can also read 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1 to 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1 to 28. The wisdom that Solomon requested, you could be very competent in some of the important aspects of your life, but minus wisdom, you will be drained out, you will lose focus. It is important to observe the dimensions of Solomon's wisdom. You know the story. News went out to the queen, to Queen Sheba of Ethiopia, that there was a man who was filled with the wisdom of God. And she said, let me go and see this wisdom that this man possesses. And you read these accounts in the passage of scriptures that I've listed to you. The first thing when she came, in verse 4, it tells us that she observed the food on his table. The food on his table. She had a certain criteria to come and see how this man conducted himself. When people come to GMDS, there's this criteria to see, are we moved by wisdom? Is every family that is representing Jesus Christ in a corporate setting, are they conscious of the fact that they have this excellence in, they should be having this excellence in the way they serve the Lord? So the first thing that the queen wanted to see is the food on Solomon's temple. The food is the Word of God. She looked and beheld. It relates to the ministry of the Word of God. Abundance of food to the point of overflowing. No lack of food. No lack of revelation in the ministry of the Word. We must declare these things in the local church and in our personal lives. Also, satisfaction of food or satisfaction of the Word of God. The diet speaks of divine provision. Daniel chose not to eat Babylonian food, but Israelite food while being in Babylon as a captive. And it produced a complete man in the person of Daniel. So the food that we are dishing out in this house of GMDS is going to be very important, as different kinds of people will come into our household to see. The first thing that they want to see, what type of teachings come on? What type of food is released from the father of the house? Is the food palatable? Is the food healthy? Is the food satisfying? This is the food that we want to bring from the pulpits that we stand behind in Jesus' name. The second thing she saw was the seating of the servants. Seating means how the people assembled. How many seats, dwelling places, location, or spiritual positioning of the servants? How are the leaders of the house? How do people conduct themselves? How observant they are? How do they honor respect? How do they honor the one that is in charge in the house? All of these things are very important. The expression of wisdom in the house is a supernatural impartation from God, enabling the word to be constructive and manifesting powerfully in the earth. Does the Lord have the right man seated on the right chair? Let's see how people are seated in worship. How do they worship? Do they have the right spirit of worship? So the queen came to see the seating of the servants of Solomon. The next thing she saw is the service of the waiters. Waiters in Hebrew is the word sharat. It's not the menial serving, but it's to do with the public servants in governmental offices. How do they serve? We are being observed. We must be observed. We must take cognizance that our servanthood in the house, how we serve as leaders, how we serve as pastors, how we serve as those that lead departments, is of critical importance in receiving the grade of excellence. Okay, we just don't put people in certain to fill positions. No, the anointing will make room. There's no theocratic government. There's no democratic government. We need a theocratic government in our household, and this is important. Next. The queen saw, as she was studying the model of Solomon and his wisdom, and we need these type of input into our lives, in the building of our local church. She saw the apparel. It speaks of their personal anointing, the garments in the spirit. Anointings must be guarded. How our people are clothed with the Spirit of God. We must be clothed according to the grace given to us. Next, she watched the cupbearers. How the cupbearers, those that surrounded the king, those that protected the king. The word cupbearer in Hebrew is the word mashko, M-A-S-H-Q-U-E-H. One giving a drink to the king or tasting the drink to see if it is safe for the king to drink. It's an officer of high ranking in the ancient oriental court. He had to serve the king. He must taste the drink before the king, just in case there's some poison in it. He had a confidential relationship to the king. The king had a heart for him and was close to him. He was in a position of good influence. Speaks of the way in which the king is protected in the spirit. What's your attitude to the pastor? Your pastor. What's your attitude to your spiritual father? Don't expose your pastor's weaknesses. Noah and his sons, if you read about that account in Genesis chapter 9, verse 21 to 27, you hear about the outcome of the one son who exposed his father's nakedness. Next, she watched his entry in the way he went up to worship God. There was a staircase that went up in different levels to the high place where they offered an offering in a place of worship. It represents the total way by which people are led up in total consecration to the Lord. The way was designed to go up. As a result of this, they could only ascend up. When she saw all these things, and she came to the conclusion that Solomon had been building his whole kingdom on wisdom. The Bible says her response was one where she was left breathless. In other words, she fainted. She was too amazed that the internal was just as impressive as the external. It is easy to preach a good sermon, beloved,
God is interested in a matching lifestyle. God wants a matching lifestyle. Then she handed the best to him, spices from India. She was so attracted that she even married him. She did not want to leave Solomon. She brought all her possessions from her kingdom and laid it at the feet of Solomon. If you read Proverbs chapter 4 verse 5 to 9, the Bible says you've got to get wisdom. You've got to get understanding. Do not forget wisdom. Do not ignore wisdom. Love wisdom and all it will promote you. It'll cause people to respect you. It'll open supernatural doors for you. If you love wisdom and all that it involves, then you will be protected. It quickly dissolves problems. It garlands you with grace. And it beautifies you. It makes you so attractive, beloved. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, you must read this at home. Wisdom prepares her food. In other words, her worship. Wisdom always brings authentic worship. She mixes the wine. In other words, wisdom allows the creating of the right atmosphere. It influences the spiritual landscape. Next, wisdom lays the table. In other words, there's no working on hype. There's authenticity. You have to sit down. There's no working up. There's no production. No, it's just sitting or laying the table and then dialoguing and receiving from him. Wisdom will give you that rest. Isn't it wonderful? In conclusion, I want to draw your attention to the principles to build the house of God. And we'll find that in Genesis. You know, we have to look at certain things. So we must make sure that we are all laborers in the house of God, building the house of God. The house is under construction. If you go to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 22, and I want you to read that at home. We find Jacob on the run from his brother Esau. This is a point of vulnerability for Jacob, in which he has the comfort and safety of his home and parents, and now is totally by himself. It is in this context that the Lord appears to Jacob at Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, and Jacob names the place as such based upon the understanding or revelation that he has come to after his experience with the Lord. So Bethel, or the house of God, therefore represents the following, and I want to list the following from this passage of scripture, and thereafter we will know that these must be installed in the building of GMDS as part of our prophetic journey. Verse number 12, Genesis chapter 20, we read, there was a supernatural connection to heaven. There was a ladder that joins earth and heaven, and in his dream he's seeing this, and there's a constant dialogue between the two realms, heaven and earth. There's a constant dialogue. So the local church should be a place where there's a supernatural connection to heaven. Come on, we've got to have the supernatural. When we gather and there's no supernatural connection, then we're just gathering as a club, or we're gathering as a group of loose gathering of people. But when we see the ladder and we build intentionally and make this a supernatural connection, every time we gather, there has to be the supernatural connection between heaven and earth. We start to worship in an authentic way, and heaven opens up, and there's a downpouring, a supernatural downpouring, and a connection is created between heaven and earth. That has to be the intention of our building process. Secondly, the intention of our building process found in verse 13 and 14. There must be a realization of prophetic destiny. The covenant promises of Abraham are restated for Jacob as he goes out on his journey of destiny. We must have prophetic destiny in our building process, beloved. And that it just cannot just be a good idea or a good word. It has to come to pass. There must be a realization of every prophetic
words spoken in our destiny. Next, verse 15. Church, local church must be a place of kingdom purpose. Verse 15. God declares his determination to complete that which he has spoken to Jacob. Next, verse 15. It must be verse 16. The Lord must be present in the building process. It is the presence of the Lord that makes this the house of God. His presence is manifested not in manifestations of the Spirit in emotions, but in the declaration, acquisition, and realization of kingdom purpose. I want to say that again. The Lord must be present in our gatherings. So first, when we gather, there must be a supernatural connection to heaven. Secondly, there must be a realization of prophetic destiny. Thirdly, when we gather together, it must become a place of kingdom purpose. And next, the Lord must be present. And there must be declaration. There must be realization of kingdom purpose. There must be acquisition of kingdom purpose. Not just emotional worship or emotional manifestation. We don't want all of that. We want the Lord to be genuinely present. Verse 17. When we gather as GMDS, it must become a place that is awesome, to be feared, to stand in awe, to inspire reverence, and to cause astonishment. This is what must happen. Verse 17. It must be the gate of heaven. Three gate principles: fortifications, justice and judgment, and access to strongholds. These three gate principles must be present in us. Next, it must be a pillar. Verse 22. See what 1 Timothy 3:15 says. 1 Timothy 3:15. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So pillar speaks of memorial or and of establishment. A memorial or an establishment. We must be established as a house now. We can't just gather loosely. No, we must be established as a house. We must now work on accomplishing everything that God has for us as a local house in our destiny towards the finish. May the Lord bless you. These points that are put together helps us to understand how to apply wisdom as we build the local house. Stay blessed.